Luke's Gospel, the chapter 6. And we will commence our reading at the verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now that can be a hard one, men and women, just to swallow at the outset. Read it again. Verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank of you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Let me just make an observation there, because we won't do it in the sermon, so we'll do it right now. You can see what the Lord's saying. If you do good to someone who does you good, so what? The most ungodly people will do that. That's not evidence of salvation. If you lend to those who will always give it back to you, so what? Not evidence of salvation. But if you do good to those who despise you, well, now that's different. That's not natural. If you lend to those whom you know you will not get it back again, that's just not ordinary. Those are evidences that you're not ordinary. That the Spirit of God, that there's a Christ-like spirit in you, that you will do good even to those who hate you. That's what the Lord's saying. Is that not what happened on the cross? The Lord says, if you do good to those, read verse 35 again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. The Lord won't reward you for doing good to those who do you good. He doesn't reward you for lending to those who will give it back to you. You don't need a reward for that. But God says, I will reward you for doing good to those who would do you evil. Verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you. And again, you get the illustration there. God says, if you give to men good portions, let's say you go to get a bag of sticks, all right, and you know what it's like this time of year, you go and get a bag of sticks or a bag of logs, and you might get a really big bag, and you get down maybe two or three layers, and then you begin to find that the bag's packed in such a way that not very much get in. Or sometimes there can be other things in there that you weren't intending to see. What if there's a big pair of old boots? You didn't buy boots, you only buy logs. Well, the Lord's saying is that's a deceitful seal. But if a man gives you, let's say, a bag of sticks, and he fills the bag, and then he shakes it, gives it a good shake so it's all compressed down in, And then he puts more into the bag. And then he puts more again, so the bag's overflowing, but charges you just the same amount as usual. That's what the Lord's saying. If that's how you give to others, the Lord will see that you're given also in the same manner. That's a verse, that final verse 38 saying there. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about dealing with your fellow men appropriately and in a godly fashion. We'll end our reading there in that 38th verse.
Forgiveness. And we're going to continue with that this morning, but perhaps
I can just bring you up to speed with where we're at right now. We commenced this whole study with that touching experience of that old Indian chief who, being a man with much butchery and violence, sat under the preaching of the missionary, heard those powerful words of Christ on the cross when he prayed, "Father, forgive them." And when those words were so deep into his heart, you remember how he met the man who murdered his own son, and he walked up to that man and he said to him, instead of slaughtering him as he would have before, he said to that man with a broken voice, "I forgive you." And so may God forgive me my debts against him. He understood that his forgiveness had a great bearing upon how he forgave others. You remember how that man died preaching the forgiveness of Christ. A harrowing story of a godly saint. We also learned so far that if you're not continually forgiving, if you're not forgiving people every day, well then you're harboring anger against them. Remember what the word harbor means. It's somewhere where a ship can come in, it can lay down its anchor, and there it stays, and it's safe in the harbor. And if you're not forgiving people, you're taking your anger and you're holding it deep and harboring it in your heart, and you won't let it go, and nobody's going to take that anger away from you because you're harboring it. And what happens? The longer anger sits, the more firmly rooted it becomes, and it turns into bitterness. And I told you the difference between anger and bitterness. Anger is when you're angry at someone for a particular event. You hurt my feelings that occasion, and I'm angry with you because of what you did. But if that anger just sits and sits and sits, turns into bitterness, so instead of being angry at one event, you just genuinely despise that person. Because they hurt you once or maybe twice, and that's just sat there for years. And so you hate the person. The deed kind of becomes secondary. That person's bad in your view. So, forgiveness, we said, was like opening a window. You have all that anger that's turned into bitterness, and it's all there, and it's ruining you, and it's distressing you. Forgiveness is like opening the window and just letting it all fly out. Cleaning the room, fresh air, and it bursts out and you feel the benefits of that, and that's what God has commanded you to do. So, with unforgiveness defined, we understand what unforgiveness is. It's harboring all that anger and hatred becomes bitterness. With unforgiveness being defined and we understand that, we've been searching the scriptures to help us to forgive. We know what it is. We want to be able to do it now. And so we've looked at three things already, actually four. The first thing we looked at was, of course, we looked at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was, as we were singing there, was despised, was rejected, was detested, and was crucified by his own people, his own kinsmen. Yet what did he say on the cross? Forgive them. Because he had already forgiven them. He is our example. Christ is our example because he's able to forgive. Not only is he our example, he's the one who can help you to forgive. Secondly, we looked at the parable. Remember the parable the Lord gave us of the Lord who forgave his servant much debt. Remember, his servant owed millions in current currency. He owed millions of pounds and an unpayable amount for this poor man now, and his Lord forgave him it all. And yet that forgiven servant went to his own servants, and one of them owed him a few pounds, and he was furious, grabbed him by the throat, threw him into prison. And you can see how horrendous that is. This man who'd been forgiven this great big massive debt could not forgive one of his own servants because of a small debt. And that's just like you and me, believer, when we don't forgive someone for their little offense. When someone calls us a wee name, we don't forgive them for it. Yet God has forgiven us for our insurmountable debt that we owe to him and all our offenses. So we looked at Jesus Christ. We looked at Jesus Christ's parable about the unforgiving servant. We looked at the personal importance of forgiving. It's personally important for you to forgive. Remember what Matthew 18, the verse 35, taught us? That as you forgive, so God will forgive you. Doesn't the Lord's Prayer teach you the same thing? Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. All right, so our forgiveness, to a degree, depends upon our forgiveness, our forgiving others. I hope you understand that, okay? Also, we're thinking about the personal importance of forgiving. Our forgiveness, God forgiving us, depends on how we forgive others. But furthermore, all that bitterness that you harbor in your heart is very unhealthy. It increases your stress. It steals away your contentment. It's bad for you. It's just generally bad for you. Even your health, let alone your forgiveness. And also, there's the element of hypocrisy. Because you might be able, when you come to God's house, you expect God to forgive you for your sins toward a holy God, yet you wouldn't forgive someone else when they sin against you. That's different. You can see the hypocrisy in that. You won't forgive those who offend you, but you expect God to forgive you for your offenses against him. And then fourthly, we began to look at some misunderstandings about forgiveness. Remember we said last week that some people say that if you're going to forgive, you have to forget. Does forgiving mean that you have to forget? And we made, I trust, the very clear application that, well, no. Just because you forgive doesn't mean you have to forget. In fact, that's completely wrong. Because if you forget, now think about this logically, and we said this last week, if you forget about what someone has done, how can you possibly forgive them? You forgot about it. Okay? Let's say you have some disease of the brain that's malfunctioning and you begin to forget things. How can you possibly forgive them? You don't even know about the offense. And so does forgiving mean you have to forget? Definitely not. The word forgive is the word apolo. Remember that? Remember we made the illustration? That's the same word. You have the Apollo 13. You have the rocket that went into space. And it's the exact same word, Apollo, forgiveness. You let it off. You let it go. That's what forgiveness means. You don't forget about it. You remember it, but you let it go. Remember how Joseph, all his brethren came to him? He forgave them, but he remembered everything that they did to him. And that's where we are now. We're looking at some of the misunderstandings about forgiveness. We know, therefore, that forgiveness does not mean you forget. Okay? Let's look at some other fresh material this morning. There is also the misunderstanding that we only forgive those who ask for it. Is that true? Do we only forgive people who ask us for forgiveness? Again, I could answer it in one word. The word is no. You see, remember when Joseph, we don't have to turn to it again. You remember in Genesis 50, where all Joseph's brethren came around him, and they were concerned because they knew they had offended Joseph, and Joseph hadn't forgot about it. And these men were panicking, and they're thinking, well, Joseph's going to chop our heads off or throw us in prison. What did Joseph do? He forgave them. They never asked for it. They were worried, they were panicking, but Joseph forgave them without ever them appealing for it. And when you read there in Genesis about Joseph forgiving his brethren, you don't have a prophet bursting into the scene and saying and proclaiming to Joseph, hey Joseph, what you're doing is unbiblical. No, you don't have that. Joseph forgave them before they even asked. I heard another contemporary preacher making this application as well, but he was making it in regards to Christ and the Joseph. Remember when Christ was on the cross and he says to them, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." You don't have a prophet coming along and saying, hey, Jesus Christ, that's unbiblical. You can't do that. They have to ask for forgiveness before you can forgive them. No, the Lord forgave them on the cross while they were crucifying him. Do you only forgive those who ask for it? No. Joseph and Christ teaches otherwise, that you forgive. Anyway, now, I want to just interject here, because maybe you think this all sounds like a bit of an injustice. Okay? All these people offending and all these offenders, and you and I, we just have to let it go and forgive them. I don't want you to see that as being an injustice, because it's not. You see, God will deal with sin. This is the point of forgiveness. God deals with sin. He deals with it in a few ways. We can certainly mention too that either he will deal with man's sin by Christ dying on the cross, so Christ paid the price for the offenses that man put out against you, or he will cast them into hell forevermore. But either way, the Bible says, God says, that vengeance belongs to you who are offended. Doesn't say that. Sure doesn't, no. And the Bible says that vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. It is the Lord who deals with these things. So our job, men and women, is to forgive. That doesn't mean that those who have perpetrated go scot-free. God's work is the one who judges. We are the ones who forgive. Your job is to forgive. Our job is to trust in the sovereignty of God. Let's imagine a scenario right now, all right? Someone has deeply offended you. You're really hurt by their words, by their actions, by whatever. Okay, you're deeply hurt, you're deeply offended. And what's your response to that? Do you get stuck into them? Do you give them a piece of your mind? Do you go to violence, or what do you do? Well, I'll tell you. The first thing you do is you take a step back and you remember the biblical doctrine that God is sovereign. God is on the throne. And he allows things to happen for reasons. That's where you begin. God, you're sovereign. You know far better than I do what's good and what needs to be done. And then that begins to give you the Joseph-like heart. Because remember what Joseph said? Joseph said to his brethren, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God meant it for good. And because he had that vertical view of the events, he was able then to forgive them. He's able to stand back and say, "I'm not going to take this to heart. I'm not going to take this personally. I'm not going to have a chip on my shoulder and try and get you back. God's sovereign." That helped him. That enabled him to forgive. Remember what happened, Joseph. And remember what happened, Jesus Christ. Both of them suffered wrongly. In the sense that they didn't deserve what was cast upon them. But wasn't it for good? Wasn't Joseph suffering for good? It brought about the deliverance of all the people. Wasn't Christ suffering immensely good? For it brought about the deliverance of all who sin against God and trust in him. So what about you when you suffer wrongly? Might it just be that Christ, that God is using you the same way he used Joseph, the same way he used his own son, to bring about deliverance? By your suffering, perhaps others could be delivered. So then, with meekness, with the heart of forgiveness, which is hard, yet we do so because God has commanded it. Remember what I'm talking about here. Do we only forgive those who ask? No, the pattern of Joseph and Christ teaches us that we forgive all, knowing that God is sovereign. Keep that wee thought in your head. Let's go now to Luke 17. Because I don't want you going through your devotional times and coming to this verse and thinking, Mr. Brown was wrong. So, Luke 17. Let's just start. Well, verse 3 is actually sufficient. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. You might say, hang on now. That verse says, if the man repents, then we forgive. Well, obviously, the Bible is making it clear that when someone sins against you and they repent of that sin, you better forgive them. You don't hold on to your grudge. You might have the anger, which has become bitterness, and that person comes and says, I'm sorry, and there's repentance, and you might say, oh, well, all right then, but in your heart you still despise them. You see, let me give you a wee verse that might be help here, might be helpful. Isn't it Matthew 5, where the Lord says, be angry and sin not? You ever read that verse? In the middle of the Beatitudes there, God says to the people on that day, be angry and sin not. You see, look again at Luke 16. It says in verse 3, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Did you get that wee word, rebuke him? Nowhere has God said that you can't rebuke someone who sins against you. But you better forgive. Now let's think about this. Remember when all Joseph's brethren came before him and they were talking to him? What did Joseph say? You meant it for evil, boys. That was their rebuke, wasn't it? Joseph didn't take all these brothers and he just took all this offense and this anger and folded his arms and said, I'm not going to say anything here. I'll just harbor this inside and I'll be okay. No, Joseph opened the window and he said, listen, man, you offended me. You have genuinely sinned against me. There is nothing wrong with saying to someone they've offended you. But what must follow is forgiveness. If they ask for repentance, obviously you forgive. If they don't, the Bible sets the pattern of Joseph and Christ, you forgive them as well. Did that make it clear enough for you? Luke 17 is not saying that you only forgive those who repent. It is not saying that. Because then Jesus Christ would have been wrong on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus first loved us, then we loved him. That would make Joseph's actions wrong in Genesis there. No, we forgive. And especially if someone asks for repentance, you better forgive. So let me put it to you like this. Do you forgive those who ask for forgiveness? Yeah. That's pretty obvious. Do you forgive those who don't ask for it? According to Joseph and Christ, yeah. Yeah, you do. You don't hold it. That's the problem. You see, when the Bible says be angry and sin not, what it means is if you don't deal with it, it'll harbor in your heart and then you sin by bitterness. And forgiveness, men and women, lets us all go. Now let's say something's been going on for years and there is no opportunity of making amends. There's no opportunity to now go back and deal with the whole thing. Get the window open, let it go, because it'll destroy you. Isn't it true? And this is strange. I think I mentioned this last week. But anyway, isn't it strange that we can harbor bitterness for so long against someone? That even when that person might die, we're still bitter. And you think about that, that is just ridiculous. Because the person you're bitter against is now dead, they're gone. Yet you're still feeling the effects of what they did to you, but they're dead. How can you be bitter towards them? But this is how bitterness is so silly. We hold it, we hold it, we hold it, and we sin against God. Forgiveness, men and women. Is God a remedy to all of this?
Let's go to the next misconception here, okay? We've thought about two. Does forgiving mean you have to forget? No. Do we only forgive those who ask? No, we do forgive those who ask. We also forgive those who don't. Then the third one here, remembering that God is sovereign, God deals with sin. Can I just say one more thing about that before we go? I need to say this because it's important. Remember last week the parable that we read? Let's just go back to it, okay? Let's go to Matthew 18 right now. Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is the parable where the Lord says about the Lord forgiving his servant the debt, but the servant then in turn didn't forgive those who were debtors to him. Why did the Lord give that parable? Why did the Lord give this parable on forgiveness? Well, I'll tell you why. Read verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? And so Peter asks the question, well, Lord, why do I forgive? Now, let's ask another question. Why did Peter ask that question? Because Christ had just been dealing with the subject of church discipline. If you read this chapter when you went home, you would have seen this. Go to verse 15. So we're in Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If he repents, praise God, you've gained the brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell that on to the church. Can you see the process here? When someone offends you, you speak to them personally. If that doesn't work, well, then you can take two or three witnesses about this if it's so serious, and you can speak to this man again, or that person again. If for the third, if again they do not turn, you take it to the church and ask the church to deal with this. Okay, can you speak to this person? And if he shall neglect to hear them, verse 17, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican and so on and so forth. Can you see the process of discipline? And so that gives the question in Peter's mind. So what about forgiveness, Lord? Peter is saying here, I've got this. I understand the church discipline. I understand that people, that we ought to be angry in sin, not that we ought to deal with sin. But Lord, what about the forgiveness bit? Can you see the difference? Church discipline, any form of discipline, God bringing vengeance, God dealing with things as against the perpetrator, and forgiveness are two entirely different subjects. And we're looking at forgiveness. But just remember that forgiveness does not mean that perpetrators go off scot-free. No, God will hold them to account. And we have a duty to show people that when they sin against us. Now, you have to be careful here, because sometimes this is where we have the clash, that people can be more sensitive than others. And it might not take a lot for you to be offended, but you should still say to that person, listen, in a gentle way, just say this, and you offended me, and that hurt me. And take it from there. Now, let me get back to where I was before that came into my head. Do we only forgive those who ask? No, we forgive all. All right. Doesn't mean that the perpetrator goes free, but we ought to forgive. We ought to forgive. Hope that's not confusing now. Be angry and sin not, the key verse. Okay. Misconception number three. Can you outwardly forgive someone yet continue to hate them inside? Can you forgive someone yet hate them? Put it another way to you. Can you forgive someone and not love them? Is that possible? Well, that's why I took you to Luke chapter 6. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, all right? You see, some say forgiveness doesn't mean you have to love the person. People say that. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to love the person. Let me tell you, you don't get that from the Bible. You did not find those words in the Bible. Let's put it another way. What if God forgave you that way? What if God said, right, whoever, I forgive you, but I do not love you. Think how that would work out logically. If God said, I forgive you, but I don't love you, where would you be when you die? Hell. Hell. All right? Why is that? Because although Christ God has to forgive you for all your sins, that doesn't make you worthy of heaven, you know. No, you need Christ to forgive you of your sins. You also need Christ to give your righteousness, to give you heaven. Do you get that? Salvation is by the life and death of the Son of God. So if God said to you, I forgive you, but I still hate you, you're going to go to hell anyway. That's why we read Luke 6. So come with me to Luke 6 and the verse 27. It says here, Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you which hear, love, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Did you get that? God loved you, his enemy. That's why you're redeemed and why you're saved. No one said it's particularly easy, but here's what we have to do. Do you know, when I'm standing here, I wish I would have got my wee Greek Bible out and see what the word love meant there. Did it mean filial? Did it mean agape? Because there are two completely different kinds of love. Because one of those words for love mean that it's a natural born affection. A parent will just automatically love their child. All right, it's just there. Okay, but the other word for love means that, what's the word translated? Charity. And charity means that you love someone who doesn't deserve it, or that you don't even know. Like when you give to a charity to some maybe child over in some other country, you don't know that child. You never seen them, never spoke to them, so how can you love them? All right? But you give your charity. You love them in the sense you give it even though they haven't done anything to actually deserve your love. They haven't done it for you. And that may be the word here. I don't know. I didn't look at it, unfortunately. But either way, God says you love your enemies. And I suspect that will be the kind of love which means even though it's not natural to you, you do it anyway. You do it anyway. So, can you outwardly forgive someone? Can you say to someone you're forgiven, but you hate them inside? The answer is no, that's not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness. Because remember again what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means you're letting it go. You're letting it go, Apollo. And you see, if you say to someone, I forgive you, but I don't like you, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm going to give you the cold shoulder. What are you doing? You're punishing them. And what's the idea of forgiveness? That you do not require the person to pay you a debt. You're letting the offense go. You're saying, it's okay, I forgive you. You've let it go. But if you say, well, I forgive you, but boy, you're going to suffer. Well, that's hardly forgiveness, is it? No, that's a carnal forgiveness. That's the unbiblical forgiveness. And that's the misconception. Can you forgive someone and continue to hate them? No, it is not forgiveness. It is not biblical forgiveness. That's not how Christ forgave you. That's not how Joseph forgave his brethren. I'm going to quote a man here, Buddy Bauckham's his name, and I think it's a helpful quote right now. If there's a believer and they've offended you, a brother or sister in the faith, And you can't fully forgive them for what they've done, here's what you're saying to that believer. Here's what you're saying to God, actually. You're saying to God, okay, the death of your son might be good enough for you, but I need to give that person some silent treatment first. That's what you're saying. It's daft. Oh God, the death of your son for all that person's sin might satisfy you, but that doesn't satisfy me. I'm going to get them. I'm not going to talk to them for a year, see how they feel. That's not forgiveness. You're punishing them by withdrawing your affection, your friendship, or whatever the case may be. So then, can we hold bitterness against unbelievers? Well, that says equally ridiculous, because what you're saying is, oh God, hell,
Casting them into hell might be satisfying enough for you, but it's not enough for me. I want to get them as well. Oh, I want to get my knife under them. I want to get my hatchet under them first. Stupid. It's ungodly. You do not find this sort of language in Scripture. It's just not there. Forgiveness means forgiveness. You don't let it go.
Those are a few misconceptions. Need to leave the misconceptions there. Does forgive mean that you forget? No. Do you only forgive those who ask? No. Can you outwardly forgive someone yet continue to hate them inside? Well, no. So those misconceptions are nonsense. Forgiveness, you let it go. Let's come fifthly now. Here's a, I trust again, another point to help you with forgiveness. Keep this wee thought in mind. But for the grace of God, there go I. And this not only hits on the forgiveness subject, it also hits on the pride subject that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. You see, but there for the grace of God go I. Let's go to Luke 23, please. Luke 23. Luke deals a lot with forgiveness, as you can see. Luke 23. And the verse 34. All right. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are those not some of the most remarkable words in Scripture? Especially if you're a person who struggles to forgive. Here Christ says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Christ still felt the spear and the thorns and the name calling and the blood running down his flesh, but he still says, Lord, forgive them. And what you have here, Jesus here views his crucifiers as self-deceived and ignorant. Because, and this is remarkable, men and women, all right, you need to really get this. The blood is flowing. He is suffering more than anyone in this room has ever imagined, let alone experienced. And he says to them, Lord, forgive them. They're self-deceived. They're ignorant. He understands, well, obviously understands he's God, but Christ is saying here that they're sinners. And there's mercy and forgiveness here. Do you get that? And so when someone forgives you, how do you respond? They're a sinner. They're self-deceived. They're ignorant. And so don't take it so personally. Understand. Don't always think, when someone offends you, don't be selfish. Don't be full of pride. Don't keep thinking about yourself. There's always at least two people involved. And you think about the one who's perpetrated against you. They're struggling with sin. Even if they're a believer. They're struggling with sin. There's a foolishness there. Maybe it's an ungodliness. Maybe it's a sin they wrestle with. Maybe they're just daft, or whatever the case may be. But there ought to be a degree of pity for that person. And you ought to keep in your mind, there go I. But for the grace of God. Then that person is still responsible for their sin. And God will deal with that sin. And you still are certainly well within your rights to say to that person, listen, what you did there was wrong. And it might actually help them. And if you deal with it in that compassionate way, that'll transform how you deal with offenders. If you understand how ungodly they are, how sinful they are, you ought to feel pity for them. Remember what Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says? All we like sheep have gone astray and led everyone his own way. Did you get that? Okay, so we've all went astray. That person who has offended you is no worse than you are. You see, becoming bitter against someone, when you become bitter against someone, it shows that you have forgotten that you are capable of doing the same thing. Isn't that possible? Don't allow pride and selfishness and your deceitful heart to say that you're morally above that person. Let me give you a wee phrase. And maybe you said this before. someone has offended you and you would turn around and say, I would never do that. I would never do that to somebody. Hypocrite. Proud individual. Deceived. And you're making the word of God a liar. All have come short of the glory of God. All are sinners. How dare you be so morally stuck up and proud to say that you would never do that? Listen, if you were in the same circumstances, the same background, the same perhaps influences, the same temptations, all of those things, the same environment, the same provocations, how do you know you wouldn't do the same thing? You don't. In fact, I'll tell you, you would. Because you're all fallen children of Adam the same way I am, and not one of you is better than anybody else. So get that stupid lie out of your head. When you say, I would never do that, you've got a problem with your heart. And that's why you can't forgive the person, because of your pride and your bitterness. It's time to go on your knees. Listen, again, we're not saying that perpetrator should get off scot-free, but I don't want you to focus on the other person when you're the one harboring unbelievable quantities of sin, and it's ruining you, and it's ruining your life with God. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. And so when someone offends you, remember, there go I, but for the grace of God. One last thing, and now I want to speak to the perpetrator. What if you're an offender? What if you're, and I suspect this involves everybody. What if you're a perpetrator? What if you have offended someone? Well, then you better make it right. If you can, maybe the person's dead. Maybe you'll never see them again. If you can, you better make it right. Whether that person forgives you or not is not the point. You are accountable to God. And you have offended someone, and God will deal with you. And you'll know about it. He will judge you. You have no joy in God. Maybe you have no fellowship with the Lord. Maybe there's coldness in your soul. It's because you've offended someone and you haven't made the approach, the bridges. You haven't went the lengths to make sure you have as far as possible made that up. Remember, let's read it, okay? Mark, let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 42. Mark 9:42, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. And then go to verse 38. Sorry, I've been wrong. No, it was. Then read verse 38 together, if we can just lay my eyes on it. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. Listen, men and women, Christ drank sorely of this being accused and wrongfully treated. If you're a believer, so will you. But you know what Christ goes on to say here? Remember that great verse? It's later on. Remember that great verse where he says, if any one of you offend one of my little ones, better would it be for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you're thrown into the water. If you offend someone, listen, we're living in the same world as Christ lived, where there's people who do wrong things and so on and so forth. But if you turn around, God says, and you offend someone, you offend in particular one of my little ones, whom, and when I use the word little ones, he means his own people, his own children. If you offend one of them, far better would it be for you to have a millstone around your neck and go and drown. That would be better. So you better be careful when you offend someone, because God will hold you to account. Let me just say in conclusion, in regard to this whole thing about forgiveness, forgiveness is hard. But I'm going to, just let me finish here. I'm going to summarize in a minute. But I'm going to finish here with a quote from a real theologian. His name is Sylvester Stallone. Rocky. I'm joking. All right, I'm joking. But he does say something which is probably quite helpful. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can be hit and keep going forward. And that is very true of forgiveness. It's not about how hard you can hit somebody else. It's how often you can be hit, but you keep going on. And that's the problem. If you're not big enough for people to hit you, you're going to be lying on the ground. You need to be godly enough, mature enough, to open the window and press on with forgiveness, or you will be lying on your face, making no progress. So how do we overcome unforgiveness? Firstly, you confess to God your sin. We're not dealing here with the perpetrator. I'm dealing with you who needs to forgive. Confess to God your sin and pray that God will forgive you and grant you the ability to forgive. Some of you to pray about it, that God helps you. And God does help you. He does help. And it is for your good and you will enjoy it. The second thing is the practical biblical advice that we've had from these verses of Scripture. You look at Jesus Christ's example. You remember the parable of the Lord and the servant who forgave him a great debt. You remember your forgiveness affects you. It affects how you're forgiven. It affects your even your own health, your own enjoyment of life, and so on and so forth. Fourthly, you drop all the unbiblical, un-Christ-like views, these misunderstandings about forgiveness. You forgive all. You love those that you forgive, and so on and so forth. You get rid of all those misconceptions because they are unbiblical. Fifthly, you remember, there go you but the grace of God. Let me tell you, you're better being offended than being an offender. Did you get that? You're better being offended than being an offender, for you'll answer to God. And then, of course, sixthly, if you are an offender, if possible, you better get it sorted out before God sorts it out. It's a serious business. And here we conclude. Father, forgive me my debts as I forgive those who are debtors towards me. One more quote. In regards to debt, when someone has offended you, you don't spend the rest of your life rubbing in their offense. You don't rub in their debt. Men and women, you rub it out. Is that not what God has done for you? Every time you come to pray, does he remind you of your sin? No, he doesn't rub it in. He rubbed it out. And I trust that you and I will have the same grace to do so. I trust this is helpful. Forgiveness is a wonderful, beneficial thing for the believer. It brings great freedom. It's good for your soul. And I trust we can master this and be a great example of this Christ-like forgivers. And let's take our hymn books, please, the hymn 54. Oh, to be that Christ, I'm not quoting the hymn here, I'm just speaking. Oh, to be that Christ, who did not have one drop of bitterness, and even when he was on the cross, that was certainly part of the victory. There was no bitterness. He was forgiving even then. Praise God, let's be more than Christ. Hymn 54, great God of wonders, all thy ways are worthy of thyself divine. It's the final two verses. Who is a pardoning, forgiving God? Who is a pardoning, forgiving God like thee? Verse 2, crimes of such horror to forgive, such guilty, daring worms to spare. You're asked to forgive people who are your equals. They are men or women like you are. Christ, he's forgiving worms. Such was his mercy and forgiveness. What a great Savior. What a great God. We owe him all. Verses 1 and 2 of the hymn 54.